The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but Christians talk all the time about God's forgiveness and mercy. And you wonder, is he also a God of justice? Indeed, he is, my friend. Indeed, he is. And it's interesting because even though Christians get so much kickback regarding the existence of a hell, all that doctrine really teaches is a God of justice who will hold people accountable for the way they lived their lives. It would be no different than us expecting a courtroom judge to jail criminals. Now, as far as God being a judge, obviously all of us fall short. That's why we need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ that was offered on the cross when he paid the penalty for our selfishness, which the Bible calls sin. However, for those who refuse to accept God's mercy, they will receive God's justice, which is good. This means that while so many people avoid justice in this life, they will at least get what they deserve in the end, including one who once worked directly under our so-called Justice Department as head of the FBI, James Comey. Back in the news again, good old James Comey. Now, don't get me wrong. James Comey can receive forgiveness like anyone else, provided he repents. So far, the evidence of such repentance is rather fleeting. But what do I know? That's between Comey and God. Meanwhile, what's between Comey and us is that he lied. He betrayed the public trust. James Comey, who made a case against Hillary and then claimed there was no case against Hillary. James Comey, who says he doesn't want to be interrogated in a closed session. Let the public hear, he cries out. Doesn't that sound nice? Let the public hear. Brings a tear to my eye. Why? Why does he want this to be public? Well, his answer, supposedly, is that otherwise he might be subjected to the selective leaking of the Republicans interrogating him. And if you believe that, I have a book to sell you about the greatness of America written by Barack Obama. Comey expressing concern about selective leaking is like a cat being concerned that the birdcage is being left open. His real purpose in calling for open rather than closed testimony is actually quite simple. In open sessions, the GOP only get five-minute increments for questions alternating with self-righteous pontifications of Democrats such as Elijah Cummings, not to mention Comey's own pontifications, which will leave no time for follow-up questions, all in an attempt to run out the clock until the new Democrat Congress convenes where Republicans will no longer command any subpoena power. And while we would expect the mainstream media to conduct their own investigations into this deep state, they instead go after the man who is trying almost single-handedly to clean things up, President Trump. CNN just loves to call Trump unpresidential because he reacts negatively to their criticism. But they do not simply criticize the man. They compare him to Hitler. Then when he complains, they get defensive. Such is the way of the left. Make an outrageous, offensive comment and then assume, simply by nature of the fact that the recipient explains himself, that the problem is with him. And what are their examples of Trump being like Hitler? He wants to protect our borders. And so, another executive order from President Trump is overturned, this one claiming that people who illegally cross our borders instead of entering through a legal point of entry cannot claim asylum. Why was it overturned? Three reasons. One, it came from President Trump. Two, it made sense. Three, there was nothing truly unconstitutional about it. This ruling cites the 1965 Immigration and Nationality Act, which says that anyone in the country can claim asylum, and I'm quoting from the law, can claim asylum whether or not at a designated port of arrival. However, and this is a very significant, however, the same law also leaves much to the discretion of the president. The 1965 version is an amendment of the 1952 incarnation that did not override all of the previous bill. In fact, here is a section left intact. Section 212F says, whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation and for such period as he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. But good luck explaining this to an activist judge. Well, some of us still care about justice, and some of us still talk about it with actual consistency. For example, I don't like that lawyer, Avenatti, but I will cut him more slack than he gave Kavanaugh and say that a person is innocent until proven guilty. Now, I cannot help but observe that he has already contradicted himself with two statements. One statement, I have never struck a woman. I never will strike a woman. But he also said, she hit me first. Okay, well, maybe he can get some lawyer of his own to prove that a strike is not the same as a hit. Why not? That works for baseball. And now let me introduce a man who can talk about baseball, justice, music, or any other topic you want to throw at him, although I have not yet tried him on ceramics. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Oh, man. Wow. What a great intro. And actually, when I was very young, I worked as an apprentice to a tile setter where we worked with ceramic tile.
Now, why doesn't that surprise? Why doesn't that surprise? You are a true Renaissance man.
Wow. Great intro. And I have to say, I just agree with you on all points. And it leads me to the first question. I know we have some things we're going to talk about tonight, but I wanted to ask, as a San Diegan, what is going on in San Ysidro? I don't know if I can believe everything in the national news. But what
well, you know, it's interesting because even though I live, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 minutes from San Ysidro, everything I know about it, I'm hearing on Fox News. I really have not heard much buzz in San Diego, and I don't follow the local news much. But, you know, I was in church all day. Nobody even mentioned it. So I guess they're not as concerned as some might think.
Seeing stories about tear gas and stuff.
Well, Trump is really, unlike Obama, he told them they didn't have to consult an attorney every time they defend themselves, and he is giving them permission. I'm a little gray still on whether they're going to be able to use firearms or not. My understanding is that they're going to be there, but they're not going to be there with firearms, but they are allowed to protect themselves. And it's a little iffy whether they're allowed to go over the border and stop them on the Mexican side. And he's putting pressure on Mexico to do something. It's just a mess, but who knows? Interesting history going on around us.
It really is a mess. And, you know, I was born in Chula Vista, just for the record.
About 15 minutes from the border, Chula Vista?
Yeah. And when we grew up, we called it Chulawana. And
that sounds like something you'd order at Taco Bell. I'll have a tostada and a Chulawana.
I'm greatly concerned for what's going on down there. And as you said, the president doesn't get a whole lot of support from anybody. In fact, in your opening, you made the statement, Trump, unlike Obama, which right there, that just says it all. Trump, unlike Obama.
I'm really disappointed and yet not entirely surprised that Chief Justice Roberts is pushing back against Trump's statements about the Ninth Circuit, because I have this horrible feeling that Roberts is going to become the new swing voter and the new Kennedy.
Yeah.
He didn't set a very good precedent with him going along with the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yeah. Well, the Supreme Court, if you want to talk about that, I mean, I think they have Ruth Darth Bader Ginsburg propped up with, you know, I don't know how she's surviving. You know, she took a fall and she doesn't look good.
But isn't it interesting, Jim, there's all this talk about, oh, we don't have Obama judges and we don't have Trump judges. Well, if that was really true, then why are the Democrats freaking out that Ruth Bader could retire? Yeah. And why were they freaking out that Kavanaugh was going to get appointed? Of course, I would agree with one thing Robert said. We should only have an independent judiciary. That would be wonderful. But we don't. That's just the reality.
Yeah, in the perfect world. So there's still much to be seen there. And, of course, with the new powers moving in, it's going to be very hard for him to be able to appoint a judge if we need that to happen. If something happens to Ginsburg or anybody else, it's going to be very hard for him.
He could, because we do have the Senate, and the House of Representatives has nothing to do with the judges. It's going to be difficult for him to pass any legislation.
Which, you know, brings me to my next question. Is Nancy going to be the next Speaker of the House again?
Oh, I think so. I think anybody that comes up against her might find some poor unfortunate accident in their family. I mean, I'm talking a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but not a whole lot. Nobody goes up against Nancy Pelosi.
I know a few
people ran as moderates and said they wouldn't vote against her, but they're being swallowed up. So swallowed up like guppies by tunas right now.
Well, on a previous show, I think I shared with you, my nickname for Hillary is the Bad Penny, because she just keeps on showing up. I have a nickname for Nancy. She is the lizard's tail. You can cut it off and it grows back.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Just the horror. We had 4 years of her as Speaker of the House, and just the fact of her being back. Oh, it's like a nightmare. I know the last time you were on, we hadn't yet had the elections, and so it was kind of a split decision, but I was very bothered, even though we held on to the Senate, how close the vote was in Texas. What are those people thinking down there? You guys are supposed to be the sensible state.
Well,
O'Dork almost got elected.
Well, but he did not.
He didn't.
So I called that the battle of the rhino versus the lino. That's a Republican in name only versus a Latino in name only.
What, you mean you thought Ted Cruz was a Republican in name only?
I've never really liked the guy, but...
Yeah, but he seems to be a conservative. Okay, well, we'll pick this up on the other side. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
The sound.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 96.1 FM and 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
So, I just want to say, I feel like Texas averted disaster by not electing Beto O'Rourke. And the neighborhood where my church, the church that I pastor, is an inner city, and it's probably 90% Hispanic neighborhood, in San Antonio is probably 60% overall, but there were Beto signs everywhere, and he's got a lot of financing from George Soros. I don't know if you were aware of that, but that was one of his major funders.
Yeah, I understand that, but now I was a little surprised. I understand that a lot of people just don't like Ted Cruz in terms of personality, and he does talk like Mr. Haney from Green Acres, but
I
would certainly never confuse him with a rhino. If anything, the rhinos had a real problem with him in the Senate.
Yeah.
So I was a little surprised by that comment.
Well, I guess you're probably right. I stand corrected as the man with the orthopedic shoes.
Well, I know that my son told me, because he lives in Texas too, as you know, he told me that people in Texas don't like Ted Cruz. I know he wasn't liked anywhere else. I thought the people in Texas did like him. So I was just a little surprised.
Well, they've elected him, and so that says something.
Yeah, but boy, it was too close for my comfort.
I was really nervous. And so, the comparison, it would have been a disaster, because this guy, O'Rourke, he's everything that I am against. I don't know how to say it.
Well, you know the problem. People from California are moving to Texas, and they're turning Texas from a red state to a purple state. They leave because they can't stand the policies of the liberals. So what do they try to do? They try to turn Texas more liberal. It's a form of insanity. But it seems like that's what's going on.
It is. It is. And it's happened to other states. But, a lot of it's because of the economy and everything else. But people are moving here. And I'm for doing border security in the state of Texas, all the way around it. And I have proposed that they put the little tire shredders when you come out of a paid parking lot place. I want to put those on the Texas border and say, now leaving Texas, don't back up. And that's kind of hypocritical for me, because I moved here from California 28 years ago.
Yeah, but at least you didn't turn the state purple. You kept it red.
No, and 28 years ago, I left San Diego, beautiful San Diego, and came to Texas, and my friends thought I was crazy. Why would you want to live in Texas?
And you apparently had a lot of foresight.
Well, it was a ministry opportunity, and my wife and I prayed, and we really thought this was the thing to do. And so we moved out here for that reason. Now, 28 years later, a lot of my friends think I'm a genius. Housing's about a third the cost that it is there, and it still is a fairly conservative political environment. You know, a couple of years ago, you and I had a debate about California versus Texas. And as I recall, I think I thrashed you. But
I am not recalling ever once defending California against Texas, Jim. I remember us having a comparison, but I think I yielded to you voluntarily.
I think we came out on top over here, and a lot of it was because of the economy is strong here. The politics are still fairly sensible, and there is still we're kind of in the Bible Belt. And so there is a moral code. Most people will tell you they belong to a church. That doesn't mean that they attend, but they do believe in God and all of those things. So there is a different atmosphere here than I find in California. And as beautiful as the city of San Diego is, and that whole state, when it's not on fire, is just a gorgeous, the prettiest state. You have everything. You have mountain, deserts, coastline, trees.
Yeah, we have a beautiful state. Unfortunately, yeah. We also have Sacramento. So.
Yeah, so all of that to say, I was greatly relieved. I did vote for Ted Cruz, and I did not vote for him when he ran in the primaries for president.
Who did you vote for in the primaries?
I think I wound up voting for Trump, actually, which is shocking, because I was just so fed up with all the insider stuff, the career politicians, and like many other people, apparently, in the country, I saw him as an outsider and as a guy who couldn't be bought because he's a billionaire, so he's not going to be, no one's, going to get to him by bribing him or anything else, and he's always been kind of a free spirit. He is obnoxious. I admit that. But then, Cruz, I've heard him speak and stuff, and he does. He kind of has that kind of whiny.
Kind of slick.
I love your comparison about Green Acres. That's
well, Cruz always struck me as being more genuinely conservative, but I'm so glad Trump got the nomination because Cruz would not have won. Hillary would have defeated Cruz.
Yeah, and we all thought she was a shoo-in anyway, but hindsight now, here we are almost 3 years later, and it is 3 years, isn't it? 2 years?
Well, we're at the two-year mark.
Two-year mark. Yeah. See, that's what happens when you get old. You just kind of lose track of time.
Well, no, but it's understandable because the elections go on for about 2 years. Election year usually starts the year before election year now.
Yeah, and then you got the recounts.
Goodness. Yeah, every time the Republicans win now, they're going to be accused of cheating and minorities weren't allowed to vote. It's such utter garbage, and they just do it. I don't know how they do these lies with a straight face.
Bob, what has happened to our society where lying and cheating is okay as long as the objective gets met?
I think that's exactly how the Democrats sleep at night in the deep state. They say Trump is so horrible that anything we can do, the ends justify the means.
Yeah, and that kind of thinking it disturbs me. Because, you have these, down in Florida, my gosh, all of the lack of integrity in the system down there it's just appalling to me because so much rides on these things, the balance of power and everything. An election can be bought or stolen. Now, there's nothing new about that. You recall there was a local politician here in Texas years and years ago, and they called him Lucky Lyndon.
LBJ, you mean?
Yeah. And he won on a representative position or something, a smaller seat. But it was that same thing. All of a sudden, a bunch of boxes showed up, and every one of them, every ballot in the boxes, had his name on them.
Yeah, well, thanks also to him and that idiotic amendment, we have this delusion that churches aren't supposed to be able to talk about politics. We'll be right back.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring.
Houses burned down.
You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
It's a pleasure to be joined by my good friend, Jim Barrier.
And, you know, folks, I forgot to give my disclaimer at the start of the program. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of Bob Siegel, KCBQ, or the Salem Broadcasting Network. And I should have gotten that out of the way. So,
I'm glad you could say that. I can't, as Bob Siegel, say that my views do not necessarily represent the views of Bob Siegel.
I guess you'd have to. Well, that's because you're an honest man. You know, because you don't say things like it depends on what is, and those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, if they're going to hang me, they might as well hang me for something I actually truly said.
Well, that's okay, yeah. So apologies to Ted Cruz fans. Maybe I was a little heavy-handed there, but I just thought it rhymed.
I should say, when I mentioned that a lot of people don't like him, I don't include myself. I do like him. He does sound a little bit like a slick politician. I do like the guy, but again, I don't think he would have won. So at the end of the day, I am very glad that Trump got the nomination. I came to the conclusion after a while in the primary that he was the only one that could beat Hillary because he would fight. And I do think Cruz would have fought a little more than some of the others, but not nearly the way Trump fights.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think he would have prevailed. However, on the local level, he did, and I'm so glad he did. And we haven't heard the last of Beto O'Rourke.
Oh, no. That guy's become a rock star.
Yeah, he really bothers me. And I'll tell you another guy to keep an eye on is Julian Castro. Don't know if you know him.
That one I'm not familiar with.
Well, he was the mayor of San Antonio. He went, Obama put him in his cabinet. I think he was HUD, director of HUD or something. But this guy... he has a twin brother, Juan and Julio, and they're both politicians, and their mom groomed them from the time they're little boys to be politicians. They refer to them, they call them the Latino Kennedys, and they are they want one of them to be president someday, and I think that someday one of them will run for president, but they're really slick. Boy, they put up the image and people love them, but they're ultra liberal. So it's hard to forget a name like Castro, one of America's great allies.
And Jim, it bothers me so much that people will vote for somebody just because they are slick and have charisma or they're attractive. This is why, and I've said this a lot on the radio, I am not a big believer in get out the vote. I don't like this. Oh, you've got to vote. I'm a believer in get out the vote if you're following the issues and you know what you're talking about. But people will vote based on who smiled more, who sounded more presidential, whose tie was on straight.
Yeah. It's all of that.
There's a lot of people that should just stay home and not vote.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're probably right there. But and here, again, everywhere I went, there were signs for Beto. And I guarantee you, the masses had no idea that he was not Hispanic. It was contrived. I mean, Beto, really?
Well, and Cruz really is Hispanic. He's from Cuba.
I know. Beto, just the nickname he picked up when he was in school, so that he could really grow up in El Paso. And so his real name, I think, is Bobby O'Rourke, and his parents are Irish, you know.
Well, I hope MSNBC offers him a job instead, and he just stays out of politics.
Well, we can only hope. And I think I'm going to scrap my notes for what we're going to talk about tonight because we're just having too much fun. Because the last time I was on the show was before the election, and there's all of this fallout stuff that we have to deal with now. And I'm real concerned about going into the new year. You're right. We still have the Senate. And so that's super important, especially with Supreme Court.
But the way Republicans turn on Trump, the Senate's a very small consolation, I hate to say.
Yeah. And his own people, his own party hasn't supported him. And this just bugs the cheese out of me. Because the Democrats are just, it's an all-out war, you know. So I don't know. I don't know how things are going to go for the second half of his term. If there's any silver lining, it's that when they have these midterms, generally, at least the trend has been that the incumbent will come back, run for re-election, and win. Because then people will be mad about what the Congress has done for those 2 years. So it could backfire. Plus, there was such just nasty stuff. I think it really left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. And the whole Kavanaugh thing was just ugly. So I'm hoping that in 2 years' time, the president will run for re-election. We don't have any guarantee that he'll do that.
Well, we not only need to pray that he runs and wins, but we need to pray that even if he wins, the Democrats don't cheat and steal the election. They make the biggest noise about Republicans cheating to drown out the fact that they are the ones who cheat.
You know, it's that old thing. You see it on the playground. A little kid tattles and points out the other kid's fault so that no one will notice what he's been up to.
Yeah, exactly. And these are the people that are always complaining that Russia interfered with our election. But you try to get one Democrat today to admit that somebody should show a photo ID at a voting booth, and they'll come unglued. You need photo ID to get into the Democrat convention, but somehow you're not supposed to need it to vote. And who in this country, rich or poor, cannot get ID? States give them out for free. It's just so ludicrous. So who's really concerned about people fixing our elections?
Well, in the city I live in, when I voted, that you have to show an ID. And so, once again, you know, God bless Texas.
Jim, in your city, they'll throw them to the alligator mode if they don't show ID.
Well, again, I live in a more conservative political climate than you live in. And so we have kept some sense. And most of the people here want border control because we are on the border. Texas is a border state, and we get the gangs and the drugs and all that stuff that comes up through that corridor, and nobody likes that stuff.
But I'll bet you the immigrants are more eager to get to California than Texas because California has declared itself a sanctuary state, and Texas has not.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're not going to find the open arms here, I think, that they do down there. So that is exactly why they headed.
I'm waiting for Gavin Newsom to lead by example in his mansion, lower the gates, open the windows, unlock the doors, and let them all come live with him.
Yeah.
And then we'll all go out ice skating because hell will have frozen over.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. And there is a lot of hypocrisy in the rhetoric and the accusations and all of that stuff. Right here, music.
All right, we have more hypocrisy when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others, sadly, do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
This just in over the wire, federal judge rules that Trump simply cannot do anything. Not talk, not instigate legislation, not call out the military, not sign bills, not hold rallies, not tweet. He just needs to sit still for the next 2 years. Anything he does, anything at all, is unconstitutional. Possibly he can sneeze, but he must anticipate the sneeze in advance, give notice to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and allow it to go to the Supreme Court, who will rule on whether the sneeze is permitted. Strict constructionists and those into original intent will point out that sneezing has always been permitted, and that a sneeze being wrong for a president was the farthest thing from our forefathers' minds. On the other hand, those who see the Constitution as a living, breathing document we'll have to decide if it is also a living, sneezing document. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
I love that. Oh, man. You're right. He can't do anything without somebody criticizing him, challenging him, saying, you know, it's wrong.
And he can't even overturn an executive order that Obama did. So Obama does an executive order. He does an end run around Congress. Trump tries to turn around it, and some judge rules it's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
Well, and we're likely going to have two more years of that kind of stuff. But all of that said, I think there have been some great things in the past 2 years. Now, we just had the Thanksgiving holiday, and the last time I was on your show, we talked about holidays. Maybe I'd like to take a moment just to give thanks for some things. And first of all, I'm thankful that you're playing Christmas music on your show.
We're both real holiday nuts.
You made good on your promise, and I, right at this point now, that's all I listen to in my car, anywhere I go. It's all Christmas all the time. And so I'm thankful for that. I am thankful. You did a thing there for Skyline Church. I will, for my whole life, be thankful for Skyline Church, because it was people at Skyline Church that brought me to a place of faith and finding Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And so I am grateful, thankful for Skyline Church. I'm thankful for the church that I pastor right now. You know a little bit about our church. It's the most amazing, eclectic group of people. I've been a pastor for over 30 years, and I've never been with a group like this. They're just the most unusual people, and they're sold out to the gospel and to reaching people for Christ, and very multicultural, multi-denominational, people from all kinds of backgrounds, but we're all on the same page. And they all have servants' hearts, and I'm just so grateful for the people in my congregation.
Well, Jim, I'll bet you they are grateful to have you as a pastor. And if I were in San Antonio, I would love to go to your church, because you don't act holier than thou. You're a regular guy. You have a sense of humor. You can talk about other things, but you also know the Bible and you love God. And I'll bet you everybody senses that about you at your church.
Well, I think we have a great relationship. So I'm grateful for that, those folks. I'm grateful for my own family. I have just the most wonderful supporting wife. I'm grateful for my children, my grandchildren, and I know I've mentioned this, but I have a 4-year-old great-grandson.
Wow.
Isn't that a mind blower? My granddaughter and her family were out here recently visiting, and so I got to spend time. His name is Lex Ryder. Is that a great name?
Yeah, I almost thought you were going to say Lex Luthor for a moment there.
No, Lex Ryder, but it sounds like a comic book character. And the kid just got gobs of personality, and he is really something. So I'm so grateful for my family. And then friends, I have said this over the years, if good friends were currency, I would be Bill Gates. I have a wealth of friendships and relationships, people that I can count on, people that, you know, are there for me, and there's an unconditional love and relationship there where whatever I'm going through, they're there, and whatever I need, they're there for me, and it's a mutual thing. But I just have the most good friends of anybody I know. And so I'm grateful for so many things. And I am thankful for the last 2 years. You and I and many others, we were so concerned on how that thing was going to go. I don't know what this country would be right now.
If Hillary were in charge, we probably wouldn't even recognize the country anymore.
By a thin thread,
we practically can't recognize it anyway, but it would have been worse under her.
Well, and I've mentioned this before, you know, so much has changed in our culture, and we'll get back to the topic we were going to discuss, but in my lifetime, so much has changed. As an example, I talk about, you know, I was not raised in church. I had no catechism. I had no understanding. I didn't know who Jesus Christ was. I didn't know what Christmas or Easter were really about. I had never read a Bible, never darkened the doorway of a church until I met some people from Skyline Church. And they were very influential, and I finally came to a place of personal faith. And then I just started devouring the scriptures, and my life took a course. And I said this morning, I put my hand on the plow, and I never looked back. But prior to that time, before being a believer, before having any knowledge of the scriptures or any of that, there were just things that I understood deep inside that were wrong and right. I had an understanding of that somehow. And now, some of those things that I knew before I was a believer, as an adolescent, now I know people in churches who don't know that those things are wrong and right. it's scary.
Oh, it is. It is, absolutely. There are a lot of churches that don't really believe solidly in the authority of Scripture.
Yeah, and that's, I will not, you know, you when you pry my cold, dead finger off my Bible.
A little Charlton Heston there.
I'm solidly committed to the scriptures, and of course I understand exegesis is a very important concept. I'll let you explain that to your audience on a further show, but how you interpret the scriptures is very important. You need to know the languages that it was written in. You need to know the people who were writing, and you need to know who was speaking, who they were speaking to, and why they were saying what they were saying, and all of those things. But I will not compromise on things in the Bible, even if they make me uncomfortable.
Well, and there are very few like you today, and that's one of the things I admire about you. We'll be right back.
You know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they had hoped would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen. Since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Valduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717.
Or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connor's strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home, and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined by Jim Barrier. Well, Jim, I need to follow your example and tell you that I am very thankful for my beautiful wife, Dana, who had a hip replacement. As Indiana Jones would say, it wasn't the years, it was the mileage. She was very athletic when she was younger. And she had that hip replacement a week and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
Came home from the hospital the same day. That's the way Kaiser does things now. Her therapist, who is sent out to the house by Kaiser, says her recovery is remarkable. She's already off the walker and on a cane and will probably be walking in a week. And
awesome.
Her daughter and I have to slow her down when she's on the cane. And then, of course, I had a granddaughter born this year. My grandson is three. My granddaughter is a few months old and has just started smiling. That's the cute part. Gets a lot cuter when they're smiling at you. So anyway, I had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and like you, I have much to be grateful for.
Yeah, we need to be grateful people, and we have it so good. And for you and I talk so much about some of the woes and some of the challenges our nation is facing, but I've been all over the world. And there is no place like this country still. It's still the greatest country in the world, I think. There are so many opportunities and so much freedom still. And so much affluence. I've been in very, very poor countries. And the poorest people that I am exposed to, and you know, I run a soup kitchen. We feed homeless people every week. And I tell them that they have it better than much of the world, and it's true. And so this is a great, great country. It's a great experiment, this democracy thing and being a Republican, being a union of 50 states, originally 13 colonies. But what an incredible concept to come up with this thing. So we live in a great, great place. And so I need to be careful that I don't get too negative and too cynical.
Well, frankly, all the immigration issues just show what a great place it is, because even though countries all over the world love to rag on America and we're xenophobic and we're racist, really? Well, if we're so bad, why is everybody so desperate to get here? Why is getting to America like winning the lottery? So that obviously shows that they don't really believe at all that we're a bad country. They believe we're a wonderful country.
Yeah, I mean, nobody, they're not breaking down the gates anywhere else. And the truth is, where else would you want to go?
I don't see any caravans trying to get into Iran.
No, and as you know, in most places in the world, if they did that, they'd just shoot them. They would just shoot them.
Oh, of course. You know? And Mexico used to do that at their southern border. They're not doing that anymore, but they used to shoot people at their southern border while they were criticizing us for not letting everybody into our border.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure much of this caravan did not originate in Mexico. It's kind of worked its way.
Oh, I think it originated in Sorosville.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that this caravan thing is because people really want to come to America because they love it. I think there's an agenda, but...
Well, one of the organizations has the word No Borders in their name. I forget the exact title, but no, it's an agenda. It's a globalist agenda to eliminate all borders.
Yeah, well, that's not working very well anywhere, but I'm grateful to live in this country, and I get opportunities... to go to other countries and try to do some good work whenever I can. And there's much work to be done right here at home. So we need to be a grateful people. What if the trademark, if someone said, you know, hi, I'm Bob Siegel and I'm a Christian. What if the first reaction was, oh, well, then you're a grateful person. What if that's the image that Christians had? I think it would be good for us to be recognized as being grateful people. And
people think of Christians as those who are always going around condemning you, but the whole message of Christianity is that God does not want to condemn anybody, but wants to forgive everybody.
Yeah. And so I'm for spreading that message and without compromise. And as you opened up earlier in the show, there is justice to be reckoned with. Thank goodness I am not the one in charge of measuring that out, because there might be a lot of heads falling. But I'm very grateful, and I think I'm going to be right back on the show in 2 weeks.
You are. You're going to be on the show, and I should tell my audience next week we're going to do a very special show, and you'll like it, Jim, because it's going to have a lot of music. I'm going to go through the history of Christmas. And then play a lot of songs in certain intervals. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, in 2 weeks, I'm looking forward to having you right back here again.
Yeah, and we'll come up with what we plan on talking about, and then whatever we talk about will probably be something different. But
well, of course, that's the fun of radio.
That's what I love doing the show, because you're so flexible, and we can just kind of get on a rabbit trail and have some fun with it. I just think I have this overwhelming sense of gratitude right now in life, and I'm older than you, and I'm, getting to those stages where I can look back and think, you know what, I've been blessed, by God, and I've made some good choices, and those have paid off, and the bad choices God has forgiven, but it doesn't erase the consequences, but overall, life is very good. If I died today, I wouldn't feel cheated. You know, I feel like I've just had this wonderful, wonderful ride, and just so much to be grateful for. And people like you have been just such a blessing in my life.
Well, you've been a blessing with mine, too. I have to say, though, that it's kind of, we know how old we're getting, when for me, the earmarks of being younger than you is that you're a great-grandfather, and I'm only a grandfather.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I hear music again.
Okay, my friend. Well, we'll see you in 2 weeks, and glad you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas holiday, and I'll look forward to spending more of that holiday with you on the radio very soon.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you next week, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.